Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The U.S. Department of Education has announced individual school districts can apply for Race to the Top grants directly when state officials are unable or unwilling to compete. After 3 failed bids, California officials dropped out of the running last year. Between the state's budget crisis and union objections to using test scores as a measure to evaluate teachers, they also declined to endorse an application submitted by a consortium of districts, including L.A., Long Beach, San Francisco, and Sacramento. A new poll out today finds about 70% of California voters would rather see people charged with a misdemeanor than a felony when caught with small amounts of drugs intended for personal use. The pollster, Tulchin Research of San Francisco, found voters across parties and regions hold to that idea even when the drugs involved are heroin, cocaine, or meth. As it happens, there's a bill moving through the legislature that would change the law. State Senator Mark Leno is the author of SB 1506.
Given that there are 13 other states which already do this, we know for fact the following: that they have higher rates of drug treatment participation and as a result have lower rates of drug use in their state.
Leno says non-white offenders are disproportionately affected, and as realignment results in the release of thousands of low-level offenders into the community, many are likely to find their felony convictions make it difficult to find housing and employment.
Meaning it's almost impossible for them to do anything positive with their lives, so we're trying to change that.
The Legislative Analyst's Office estimates SB 1506 would save the state more than $64 million annually, counties about $159 million. But the bill faces stiff opposition from the State Sheriff's Association and the State Association of District Attorneys. UC Berkeley law professor Frank Zimring says the odds of the measure passing are very slim.
If you were going to try and imagine a bill short of decriminalization, the opposite of the war on drugs, I think Senator Leno's bill would be that.
Which makes the timing of the new poll rather convenient. The bill passed out of the Senate Public Safety Committee in April, and the full Senate is expected to vote on SB 1506 before the end of the month. Cloud computing sounds so clean. We imagine all our music, apps, and photos stored somewhere out there, in the sky perhaps. In truth, data lives in data centers that run on electricity. For our Climate Watch project, Allison Van Diggelen explores the fight between Greenpeace and Apple over the energy source behind Apple's iCloud.
Good morning, everybody. We are here inside of the pod, asking that you switch to clean, renewable energy to power your cloud.
Last week, members of Greenpeace barricaded themselves in a giant iPod at Apple's Cupertino headquarters and dressed as giant iPhones to demand a cleaner iCloud. The whole spectacle made me curious to learn how the cloud's growth could impact the environment. So I checked in with Dennis Szymanski at the Electric Power Research Institute, or EPRI, in Palo Alto.
Well, the cloud has been around for actually quite a while.
He described the cloud as a giant system of servers in remote data centers that store your electronic data.
The data center load is maybe between 2 and 3% of the electric power consumed in the United States.
That may not sound like much, but
it's actually a huge amount of power, and it's a huge amount of energy that's used. It's a huge amount of carbon.
Szymanski says that little percentage amounts to about 92 billion kilowatt hours per year, enough to power 7.5 million homes, double that of sprawling LA County. He says it's hard to measure the cloud's carbon footprint, but some experts say that consolidating data in vast server farms can result in greater efficiencies and a smaller footprint than traditional computing.
And we're just going into the data center now.
Szymanski invited me to visit a small data center he oversees at EPRI, and I saw what energy hogs these server farms can be. Fans run 24/7 to keep the pizza box-shaped servers and the chips inside them from overheating. So many fans, even Szymanski doesn't have an accurate count.
With all the equipment, there's probably over 1,000 fans in here. Inside the servers, inside the storage arrays, inside the computer room air conditioner, there's fans everywhere, and that's what you're hearing.
This is a tiny fraction of the 20-megawatt data center Apple recently built in North Carolina to house its iCloud. But it's more than the energy guzzling that concerns Greenpeace. It accuses Apple of relying too much on dirty energy like coal from local utility Duke Energy, and says Apple is misleading the public about its future power demands. Here's Greenpeace senior IT analyst Gary Cook.
If Apple, along with other IT companies, went to Duke and said, what you're selling isn't good enough. We don't want to be buying coal from Mountaintop Renewable. We want clean energy. Duke would have to listen, and that would actually drive green power on the grid for everyone.
The Greenpeace charges led some Apple fans to accuse Greenpeace of doing a Mike Daisy on Apple. Daisy is the solo performer who invented stories to highlight dangerous working conditions at Apple's Chinese factories. Cook says Greenpeace has no interest in misrepresenting the facts.
We're really trying to shine a light on who's doing well and who is needs to do better as they grow their cloud.
And the cloud is growing incredibly fast. The more we share online, the faster the cloud must expand. EPRI experts say the cloud will double in the next 3 to 7 years. The Greenpeace Unfriend Coal campaign against Facebook led the social network to commit to clean energy for its future data centers, and the group applauds Google's clean energy leadership. So what exactly does Greenpeace want from Apple? Gary Cook puts it this way.
They have been transformational in almost every other sector they've touched, and now we need them to accept that challenge and drive transformation in the energy sector.
Last week, in a rare demonstration of transparency, Apple explained how its new data center will be totally clean powered by the end of 2012. 60% from on-site solar and fuel cells, the remainder from local renewable energy purchases. It promised no more coal. Yet Greenpeace says Apple can still do more to ensure the cloud gets cleaner as it grows and wants to see a data center siting policy that prioritizes clean energy.
Before you know, you'll be starting to ask them to feed the hungry also.
That's the reaction of Sandeep Garag, a Silicon Valley engineer who says Greenpeace is asking too much of the world's most valuable company. But it looks like Apple has already started to embrace environmental leadership. A spokeswoman points to the company's new LEED Platinum data center in North Carolina, which she says will be the greenest in the world. Or as Steve Jobs might have said, insanely green. For the California Report, I'm Allison Van Diggelen.
There's more on how server farms work online. Look for the link to Climate Watch at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, May 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.